This episode is brought to you by ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Whether you're buying or selling a home, get matched with up to three top selling agents in your area. ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Here's a popular topic from our Rock on the Money podcast. For the full episodes and more information, head on over to RockOnTheMoney.com. Hope you enjoy. Hey, welcome back to Rock on the Money. We were just talking about 529. It's the most exciting topic ever. 529s and prepaid tuition plans are part of Baby Step 5. Baby Step 5, what we're doing is we're trying to think about how you should do college right way, what it costs, and then how can we do it? So now we're up to the 529. So we're trying to get, like, I know we're kind of overdoing this Baby Step 5, but it's really a serious topic, and there are so many different ways to handle this. You have some knowledge of the 529s, don't you?
I do, because, you know, anything tax code related is super exciting, and I have knowledge on that.
Yes!
So that's why it's called a 529 plan, by the way, is it's related to the tax code. But a 529 plan is a tax advantage savings plan, and it's designed to encourage saving for future education costs. They're legally known as qualified tuition plans. They're sponsored by states, not the federal government. Mm-hmm. State agencies or educational institutions. So you have to, they're state specific. You'd have to open one in whatever state you're currently a resident of. But there's two different types. One is a prepaid tuition fees and education savings plan, and the other one is more like your traditional type of IRA investments. All 50 states and the District of Columbia sponsor at least one type of 529 plan. You may or may not have both options available to you. And then also a group of private colleges and universities sponsor a prepaid tuition plan as well. So what's the difference? Well, the prepaid tuition plans, they let you save it or purchase units of credits at a participating college or university. Usually these are the public or in-state ones. Since it's a state-sponsored program, they are encouraging you to go to a state school. So, but they'll let you prepay. That's where they get the clever name from, prepay, for future tuition and mandatory fees at the current prices for your beneficiary. So you know how the cost of college is going up astronomically year over year? Mm. You could lock in today's prices for your college student who maybe is not going to college for another 10, 15 years. We did it for my son. We used the Florida prepaid tuition plan back when we were living in Florida the first time. And you can also lock in your in-state status by using a prepaid plan. So even if you leave the state, you'd still have the option to use in-state tuition if you had a prepaid tuition plan in place.
Oh, nice.
The nice thing is that there's some flexibility there as well. So obviously, we've talked before, my son's going to college not in Florida, but in Wisconsin. You don't lose that money. It's there. It's your money. You've paid it in. We just had to cash it out, and then we applied it to, I just cashed it out and put it into a traditional 529, but you can also just have the plan pay the tuition directly to the school of your choice. They would just send a check, but there's some weird calculations and math in there, and it's not really a one-to-one match. So in our case, we decided just to put it into our separate 529 and use it that way. So the prepaid option plan is really cool. You do monthly payments, or you could just prepay all at once if you happen to have money set aside now and want to just lock in today's rate. I think it's really a great way to get not only to save for the future, but also to have a really great savings on the total cost down the road.
Okay, great.
Yeah. So again, they're not guaranteed. The other option then are the education savings plans. So they let you open an investment account and save for your beneficiary's future using basically, it's one of, and Craig, you're going to hate this, but it is a target date fund usually.
You know what though? Just real quick, I actually prefer that with these because it's a risk. It's a shorter time frame. We're not looking at 20, 30 years. Some of these cases, it's only 10. No, I do prefer not being too aggressive. So I'm okay.
So yeah, so you are limited to only choosing between target date funds, but you can choose different allocations. Like, you don't have to put it all into the target date for the exact year that you expect your student to start. For us, we decided to do a three-way split between super aggressive, a very conservative one, and then a moderately aggressive one. Because again, I have a higher risk tolerance because I have backup plans in place if something were to happen to this fund. But it just gives us a little bit more flexibility. But they are all target date funds to choose from usually. I haven't seen any options where you have a lot, you have all the flexibility you have like in your retirement fund for selecting your own ETFs. So when we talk about qualified higher education expenses, there's a very narrow list of items that qualify for these expenses. So that would be like your tuition, mandatory fees, and room and board. So those are really the only things that you can pull the money out for. So you can't just pull money out and say, oh, I needed to pay my parking fees, because those aren't necessarily mandatory fees. And that's just an example. You'd want to look into whether or not that particular fee qualifies. If your child decides not to go to school, you don't lose that money. You can always get your money back out at any time. And just, there are, of course, some bureaucratic forms to fill out and hoops to jump through, but you don't lose the money just because the beneficiary decides not to go to school. You can also transfer it to a different beneficiary. Like, let's say you have multiple kids and your oldest decides, nope, college isn't for me. I'm an entrepreneur. I'm opening my own business, or something else that's very exciting. You can always transfer it to someone else and they could get that benefit. So that's basically the college education funds. Again, they are in mutual funds. They're not federally guaranteed, so they can lose money just like your retirement fund can. That's something to keep in mind as well.
So I went and found the ratings on the different states. Even though you live in one state, you can use another 529 plan. You can use one in another state. I don't think a lot of people realize that. I mean, you may not get some of the tax benefits, but some states, because they're run by other companies for the state, can charge some fees that you don't like, or the paperwork is awful. So I found a list of the best ones in the United States really quick. And you know what's funny about the top 10 is they all say Vanguard or Fidelity.
Yeah, I was just going to mention that is like, you don't, so you're not opening the fund with your state, you're opening it with a financial institution.
Right. And it's just interesting how we keep saying Fidelity, Schwab, and Vanguard, and the best ones happen to be run by Fidelity or Vanguard. I don't think Schwab does it. I think that's why they're not in there. But really quick, in alphabetical order, Arizona, California, Delaware, Illinois, Massachusetts, Michigan, Nevada, New Hampshire, New Mexico, New York, Ohio, and my favorite, and the one I've heard is probably the best in the United States, is Utah, the My 529 in Utah, which is run by Vanguard, an age-based portfolio. So I'll post that on the website, and I'll put the reference where I got all this information. The honor roll, there's four of them that are okay. They're not, just not in the top list, is Georgia, Iowa, Minnesota, and Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Wisconsin, the EdVest 529 college savings plan. So,
So you can either open it with your state or you can open it with your financial institution. Like the Florida prepaid one, we did through the actual plan, the Florida plan. But when we went and opened a 529, we just did it with our USAA bank.
Yeah. Where I live in Maryland, no, apparently it's no good. So there you go.
I'm sure it's good. It's just not as good.
Yeah. Just got to be really careful about the fees and really check into it a little bit more. But the other states I talked about, apparently they're really good. If you find this podcast to be of value, please share it with a friend. Let them know about us. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button, that like button, wherever you're listening to the podcast. Let everybody else know that you love the podcast and help us spread the word. We're here for you. We're not charging anything for this. We're not selling anything. It's all for you. It's your community, and we're going to make this happen together. Thank you, everybody, and we'll see you again next time right here at Rock on the Money. America's Rockland USA. All opinions expressed by the host are solely their own and do not reflect the views of any company, affiliates, or advertisers. Investments or strategies mentioned in the show may not be suitable for you. Before acting on any information in the show, you should consider whether it is suitable for your particular circumstances and strongly consider seeking advice from your own financial or investment advisor.